Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Oh boy. You feel that deep in your bones? That's March Madness. That's the tourney. It's here. In about 2 hours from now, the first round tips off, and it's a beautiful thing all day long. 16 games today, 16 games tomorrow. Can you even handle it? Can you even? Coming up next hour on the show, Tim Brando is going to join us to break down the brackets. The great Tim Brando in about an hour and 15 minutes from now. Also coming up this hour, I want you guys to think about this, okay? I want the guys of the staff to. I want the listeners to as well. Mike Trout is historically great. He is already perhaps a top 20 player in baseball all time if he retired today. At the very least, he's on a trajectory to be one of the greatest 10 to 12 players ever in baseball history. Now, you might grade him down because he hasn't won anything in terms of a team. He's won MVPs, batting titles, gold gloves, but he has not won a playoff game, let alone a series, let alone a championship. But right now, Mike Trout projects to be, after seven seasons, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, and my guess is you never watch him play. My guess is, if you live on the East Coast or in the Midwest, you hardly ever watch him because he's on late and because you don't watch Angels games, even if he's playing at a decent time. My guess is most of America plays out like this. You pay attention to your baseball team. You watch 50, 75, 100, maybe all 162 of your baseball team. And then you watch the playoffs. That's my guess. That's kind of the way that baseball is broken apart in 2019. Highly, highly, highly popular in your specific regions with your team. Outside of that, most people don't watch other teams, other players, until they get to October. And Trout doesn't play in October, unfortunately. So here's my question to you. I'm really asking this. I really want your feedback. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or you can holler at me on the phones. What is the Mike Trout equivalent in football or in basketball? I'm not going to bring hockey or soccer into this only because I think that fractures our audience already. I think there's a lot of people that don't watch hockey, don't watch soccer regularly enough. So even if you said the biggest name of that sport, they might not know who that is. If you didn't watch hockey and I said, is Sidney Crosby or Austin Matthews the equivalent, you might say, I wouldn't know those two guys anyway. So, basketball, football, who is the Mike Trout equivalent to where he is superhuman, historically great, but you probably couldn't name him if he was in a store in a grocery line with you? And this could be historic as well. This could be an old player, not just a modern player. Somebody who's so historically great, but yet relatively anonymous. Phone number is 855-212-4227. That's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. 855-212-4CBS. or on Twitter, DA on CBS. March Madness begins today. Top four seeds, Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, North Carolina. Out of those four number one seeds, I've got the least faith in Gonzaga. Because I've seen Gonzaga with a one, a two, or a three seed before and lose in the first weekend. As great as Mark Few has been, and he's been much better recently in the tournament, he's only been to one Final Four. Now, again, the last 4 years have been far better for the Zags. They've gone to a national championship game, an Elite Eight, and two Sweet 16s. But they've also had one seeds, two seeds, and three seeds before that that have begged out in the first weekend. And it's so hard to peg Gonzaga because they get tons of national respect when it comes to seeding, but the year that they have in the WCC, you just can't take anything from it. You just can't. It's too hard to glean anything from their conference schedule because the second best team in that conference is usually St. Mary's, and that's a team this year that's an 11 seed. Gonzaga played good competition, non-conference schedule. But again, how do you trust Gonzaga? And I think there's a couple of bad matchups for Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga in the round of 32 is going to have a difficult matchup if they face off against Syracuse. Now, this Frank Howard suspension for Syracuse really hurts the Orange. He leads the team in assists. He can be excellent in terms of distributing the basketball. He could be a big game player. So losing Frank Howard to a team suspension is a bad look for Syracuse, but Baylor could give them difficulty. Remember, SU did knock out Gonzaga a couple of years ago in the NCAA tournament. And then beyond that, they could face off against Florida State, a very athletic Seminoles team that had a good run last year, and a well-coached Michigan team as the two seed in that region. Gonzaga's road is tough, but not as tough as North Carolina. North Carolina's path is the toughest out of any number one seed because their two seed is Kentucky. And we know how talented Kentucky is. We know the potential of Kentucky. And we know that when the Wildcats are clicking, they're as good as anybody in the country. So a UNC-Kentucky heavyweight matchup in the Elite Eight would be epic. But before that, North Carolina has Houston, who, as I mentioned at the end of last hour, has had an excellent season under Kelvin Sampson. And Houston shouldn't be trifled with. That's a good three seed. How about this? The four seed Kansas, who everybody is writing off. Yes, Kansas is a broken team this year. They did not win the Big 12 regular season for the first time in forever. They did not win the Big 12 tournament. However, if Kansas ends up facing North Carolina, that would be in the Sweet 16. Guess where that game is going to be played? Kansas City. If Kansas makes it out of the first weekend, they play home games after that. They do. They'll play home games. They will play 45 minutes away from Lawrence, Kansas, in a hotbed of KU alumni, Kansas City. That is where they play regular season home games already at times. So UNC would have to deal with a great Kentucky team, a dangerous Houston team, or Kansas perhaps in a Kansas home game, or Iowa State in an Iowa State home game, because Iowa State's only 3 hours away from Kansas City, and the Cyclones, if they get that far to the second weekend, would be a lot to handle as well. So I think that's a tough draw for North Carolina, the toughest draw in my mind out of all the number one seeds. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Mraz, what is your setup today to watch college football until you can't feel your extremities.
I'm going to watch college basketball, not football.
That's what I meant. College basketball. My bad.
I am the epic fail.
Excuse me, my bad.
Very simply, right to the app on the train when I get home. I have already, and this was last night, put my second TV out, plugged in, HDMI cord ready to go.
Good job.
By the time I get home today, we will have the big screen, the 32-inch screen, and the laptop with the app so that I can get three games cooking at once. And frankly, I have already pre-marinated, this is really fat of me, some healthier grilled chicken, tomato, pepper, shish kebabs.
Shish kebabs.
And I will be having some kebabs with rice.
Good.
And plenty of basketball on three screens today. How about that?
So you set up the second screen, and then you said the iPad?
The laptop will be propped right on the table, and I'll be binging a banging a booma, and whatever the game with the most action is will go on the big screen. I have plenty of remotes working to alternate that.
Well, your thumbs are very athletic.
Athletic thumbs.
Are you going to be hungover for tomorrow's show?
No, because I am not drinking today. I'm drinking tomorrow. I have a strict no alcohol Monday through Thursday policy going on the semi-diet I'm on.
Is that right?
That's why I'm not going out. I would go out today because I'm getting out a little earlier with the tournament, and I would just pound beers and watch the tournament. So I'm trying to save the alcohol for tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Is that respectable?
I think so, yeah. I'm glad to hear that you won't be banged up for the show tomorrow.
No, look, I'm professional. If there's one thing you've learned about me is that I'm professional.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to have some green tea and some water.
Yeah, sure.
So I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. What was that drop? Okay.
Professional.
Mm-hmm. Official.
How about you, Big Shot? Are you just putting your face under a keg today, or what are you doing?
No, I am caught in a no man's land here because I've got to wrap up some stuff after the show that probably will not allow me to get out of here until about 1:30 or so.
Look at you working hard.
And so, yeah, I work actually every day, relatively hard.
It's true.
Yeah. So I got to stick around here, do some stuff. And I won't be out until what amounts to the end of the first game. And then there's going to be a game that rolls right into that. So I've got to find a window somewhere where I can travel home where I won't be missing second halves of the basketball game. So I don't know. This is basically reading the defense and trying to make a decision at the line of scrimmage. I've got to see timing, score, blowout potential, and then scoot when I can home for the two TV setup and the laptop, binging a bang and a boom, put some food on, perhaps order a little Seamless,
woo-hoo,
and then bingo bango.
You usually have that 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern hour for the most part is your window.
But I can't stick around here until 6 or 7.
Huh.
Mm-mm. I've got to figure out a window. Now, I can go out to a sports bar right around here.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And then bing and a bang.
And hit the subway or an Uber back.
But again, am I going to go dry until 7 p.m. tonight hanging out at a sports bar? That's going to be tough to keep ordering waters at a sports bar.
I think you bite the bullet.
How many Cokes can I order?
I don't think you go underground. I think you go Uber on the watching on the app and just get home.
Just go home.
Just go home. Pay for the Uber. Just go home.
Stream it on the phone. Stay above ground, not the subway.
Correct.
Watch on the way home.
And then by the time you're home, you won't regret it. You'll be ready to rock.
There's another storyline that is unfolding around here on the CBS Sports Radio Network and the DA Show, and that is, what do we do for the women's bracket? There's been a lot of consternation, a lot of discussion, a lot of arguing over what the punishment will be like. Last year was death by salsa and one spicy moment. There's been a lot of conversation about this. We're still trying to hammer this out. When we figure this out, we'll have this announcement for you tomorrow, what the punishment will be for our women's bracket challenge, One Spicy Moment Part 2. We've got a lot of potential punishments out there. If you have a suggestion for punishments for us, please tweet them, DA on CBS, or you can tell Mraz off air at 855-212-4CBS.
I got to take notes now?
Perhaps, yes. We're going to ask you to do a little bit of work while you're actually on the clock, because today you'll be off the clock early going home.
Come on, Damon, wake up.
Come on, Damon.
Wake up.
When we return, who is the equivalent of Mike Trout in football or basketball? A guy that is superhuman, historically great, yet still anonymous. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
If Damon doesn't have something else to focus his attention to, like, I try to really, like, steer that because I need a break, okay?
Okay, all right. So,
and so in the context of the wedding, like, I needed a break afterwards, too. So giving him a project on the honeymoon, like, that's very convenient.
All right. That's an amazing answer.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zap Zap.
The Bourbon Belle makes her triumphant debut on the PGP this week as she clapped back on Morazen Bogers for trashing me on last week's PGP for doing my travel series Nomad on our honeymoon last year. And the Bourbon Belle's message was, what, you think I want him around all the time? Giving him a project is a great way to distract him and keep him away from me. So you have that to look forward to. Josh tweets, the Bourbon Belle is a legend. She's a definite 12 DA of Christmas. Hashtag beam her up. Hashtag the 2019 Torque Bellinger. Hashtag lemon zest. Whoa.
March Madness.
Whoa. Let's not put her in the class of Torque, okay? There's only one Torque ever. And let's not blow up her ego here. But I did appreciate how willing she was to clap back at Mraz and Bogish, take Mraz to task on the PGP,
yeah,
and even claiming sexism on Mraz.
I was not prepared to answer those questions.
Uh-huh.
Saying, what, just because I'm a woman, you think I need my man around? I don't need him around. In fact, I don't even like him.
I was ready to walk out at that point.
She's amazing. Most people look at the honeymoon as some type of peak of romance, hanging all over one another, spending every waking minute together. And she's like, I needed some space.
She's right. I would also say perhaps her greatest attribute is that on your birthday, we get free breakfast. So that's always a good part.
It's a good point. That's this week's Permission Granted podcast. So Mike Trout discussed his brand new contract extension yesterday and said he's thrilled to be an Angel for life. There are so many interesting subplots here, but I think the single most interesting aspect of this, beyond what it means for Bryce Harper, what it means for free agency in baseball, what it means for the rising cost of superstar salaries when we thought there was quote-unquote collusion or depression of the market based on the owners, is that Mike Trout is already one of the greatest baseball players ever. He's got two MVPs. What, he's got four second-place MVP finishes? I think he's finished first or second of the AL MVP six out of his 7 years. And the only other time he didn't was when he was injured for most of the season.
He has seven top five MVP finishes.
I mean, so he's been either the best player or the second best player in his league every year of his career. He's one of the best players in baseball every year. He's probably overall the best player in baseball over the last 20 years. And there aren't really any comps for how great he is at everything. And if his team won more, he'd probably win the MVP every year. And yet he's still relatively anonymous. He is now worth more than $400 million on this contract, $430 million. He'll make $35 million per year for the next decade plus. And I would imagine if he was in a grocery store line next to you without his uniform on, you probably wouldn't know who he was. Part of that is he doesn't have a big personality. Part of that is that he plays in Anaheim for the Angels, the second team in town. Look, if Mike Trout was a Dodger and he was playing in the World Series the last 2 years and playing in the playoffs the last couple of years, playing in October every year, I think you would know much more about Mike Trout. But Trout plays on the second team in LA, and they don't make October. So I find him historically fascinating. Is there a comp? I mean, if he retired today, he's in the Hall of Fame. So what is the comp to a guy that people project to be Ted Williams or Mickey Mantle or whatever? What is the comp to a guy who's supposed to be that great that nobody knows in 2019? I think it's a little easier to go back 50 years and say it's this guy or that guy because those guys didn't have the same media attention modern day players do. But today there's such an intensity and scrutiny of attention. What is the comp to a guy that great that is still anonymous? Pete the Body Bilotti, do you have a candidate?
I do.
Okay.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay.
Won two titles.
Yeah.
In the Jordan era, even though Jordan was gone.
True.
During that time. But he was a dominant force at center. And, you know, you always hear about Shaq because of the movies. You always hear about everybody else from that era except him. And he won two rings.
That's fair, and he's certainly one of the greatest centers of all time.
Very under the radar. You never hear about any hoopla about him.
Okay. Now, I would say that I think Hakeem gets more attention than Mike Trout, but maybe in his prime that was true, that he was overshadowed by all the other centers, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Shaq. Okay, Hakeem Olajuwon, although I would say maybe simply because he's 7'1", everybody knows Hakeem Olajuwon because he's so big and so tall and so he looks like a different type of being that Mike Trout looks like a regular guy, so Hakeem stands out of that way. But that's not a bad one. Mraz, you got one?
Basketball-wise, how about Steve Nash? Played out in Arizona and Dallas a lot. I mean, when you now start rattling off, now that his career is even over.
Two-time MVP.
Two-time MVP. Some of the great point guards I've ever played. Like Steve Nash was unbelievable. And nobody ever really saw him play. Never got to a finals. Just kind of like Trout has never really gotten to the playoffs. I think an ultimate player early in that LeBron era and in that Kobe era that just we kind of forget about now.
But Steve Nash isn't a top 12 player of all time. You could argue Olajuwon's in that conversation.
Could be a top 10 point guard of all time, though.
Maybe. But he's not an all-time legend.
Okay. All right. And then my football one for an all-time legend that I think we know about still, current player. But do we really understand how dominant he is or how great he is in his position? Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay. Okay, that's a pretty good one. Now, I think he's identifiable, perhaps because of the dreads.
Sure, but I do think football players, though, more so are a little more identifiable than baseball players anyway.
Right.
Been in a lot of commercials, but Larry Fitzgerald might be one of the great receivers of all time.
That's a good one.
He's still playing. Do we respect Larry Fitzgerald like that?
He's not a me-first guy, does not need the camera on him.
In this day and age, diva receivers, he's not.
He's played on a lot of bad Cardinals teams.
Look at his all-time numbers receiving-wise.
That's a good one. I came up with Tim Duncan. Now, Duncan, I think, is identifiable because we saw him in so many NBA finals and so many playoff games that you would know that big brontosaurus-looking guy, that's Tim Duncan. And again, he's so tall that he would stand out in a crowd. But I think he's not anonymous because he's Tim Duncan, but that we don't really grasp how great he was. That guy's a top 10 player of all time, potentially, certainly top 15, and really totally overshadowed by Kobe and LeBron and Michael. So I think Duncan might be a good one. Football-wise, the only one I could come up with was Aaron Donald right now, that Aaron Donald's so dominant that he could end up being one of the greatest interior defensive linemen ever, and that if Aaron Donald walked into a store next to you, you would have no idea who that was. I think in football, offensive linemen and defensive interior linemen have that anonymity. Like, would you know Orlando Pace? Offensive linemen are a little easier. And defensive linemen like a Cortez Kennedy, one of the greats of all time, you probably don't remember watching Cortez Kennedy as a Seahawk because he was on so many terrible teams. But those are kind of what I'm thinking about. But the difference is in baseball, you know, you're not an offensive lineman supposed to be anonymous. In baseball, you can be a hero. You know, you can win games. The ball comes off your bat. You get to have the home run trot. And Mike Trout is completely anonymous, which is crazy. Winch tweets in, DA, what about Barry Sanders or Dan Marino or Reggie Miller? I think Reggie Miller is really identifiable and nowhere near historically as great as Mike Trout. For Marino and Barry, they never won anything, but you know exactly who they are. I mean, Dan Marino was in Pet Detective. He's doing Isotoner commercials. He's on TV all of the time. And Barry, while he was kind of avoiding the spotlight, I think Barry Sanders, I thought of Barry automatically as well because of how great he was, but I don't believe that he's as anonymous as Mike Trout, certainly anymore, because Barry was such kind of a generational player. But maybe, perhaps Barry. He never played in the postseason. Well, he did, but they always lost. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. And Ack brought up an interesting one, a modern-day comp. You said Kawhi Leonard.
I think Kawhi Leonard's very anonymous, and he shuns the spotlight, and maybe he wants a little bit more of it now. But I think he doesn't have Trout's accomplishments so far, but he's certainly one of the best players in the league and is really one of its big stars.
That's a pretty good one.
I got another one for you I just thought of. John Stockton.
Okay.
Go back to the Dream Team video, and he's going through the streets of Barcelona.
That's true.
And he's on the T-shirt, and the woman has no idea
that's
who
a good
he
point.
Is.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's pretty anonymous right there if he's wearing his own T-shirt and they still don't recognize him. When we come back, your best audio of the day, including some audio about Joel Embiid and a big win from a monster game from the big man for the 76ers. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can watch the show on any device. Just go to watchda.com. That's good for your cell phone, for your laptop, for your PC, for your tablet. Watch us at watchda.com or your smart TV. That's available on any device. Watchda.com. Now, our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS, and that's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. And the tournament is here. Catch every game, every shot, every second of March Madness, Thursday through Sunday on CBS, the Turner Networks, with coverage beginning each day at noon Eastern on CBS.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
Mike Trout is so good, and yet still so anonymous. Josh tweets, Mike Trout is relatively anonymous only because MLB is so bad at marketing. The NBA and NFL players on Trout's level of individual skill are marketed to where it's near impossible not to know who they are. Joshua, you're absolutely right. 100% right. That's why I brought up Aaron Donald, because he's a modern player. He plays in a huge market, ironically the same market that Mike Trout plays in, is so great, historically great, and most people don't know who he is, but I think most of that has to do with the position that you play. Offensive line and interior defensive linemen just don't have the same recognition everybody else on the football team does. But the NBA, you're absolutely right. It is virtually impossible to be as good as Mike Trout is in the other sports, baseball and basketball, I should say football and basketball, it would be impossible not to know who he is more so, because MLB is just so bad at putting their stars out in front of the cameras. And also, Mike Trout doesn't help himself by not being a guy like Bryce Harper image-wise. Bryce is hyper-sensitive to his image. He is always thinking about his image, which is kind of the circle of life here. It's that Mike Trout gives zero about his image. He doesn't need to do commercials. He doesn't need to have an interesting social media account.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
He doesn't need to be a personality. He doesn't need to do viral videos. He doesn't need you to like him. which are the type of people I respect the most. He doesn't need us to like him, which is why he stayed in Anaheim in relative anonymity for $430 million. He likes that. He's happy there. He doesn't mind that you don't know who he is. Bryce Harper desperately needs to have your recognition, which is why the moment he signs in Philadelphia, he's doing everything to endear himself to the population. He's playing his walk-up song as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, West Philadelphia born and raised, even though really West Vegas born and raised for him. He's talking about being there forever, no trade clause, no opt-outs. We want people that want to be here. We're building something in Philadelphia. He's openly talking about recruiting the more popular player, Mike Trout, to that team. Bryce Harper on social media, Bryce Harper with the Mohawk, Bryce Harper shaving the sideburns last year in New York to get a little rumble out of the Yankees fans. He desperately needs you to know who he is, which I like those people a lot less. And so thus, he signs his contract to be the highest paid player ever because he needs that recognition. Trout would rather not have that recognition. Mike suggests, how about Dale Murphy? 7-time All-Star, 2-time NL MVP, 5-time Gold Glove winner. Most would not notice him if he was standing in line at the bank. It's a good one. Dale Murphy's a really good one. I think in the 80s you wouldn't say that because Dale Murphy was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He had his milk commercials. Dale Murphy was a very recognizable superstar, but these days I think that's true and not getting any real love for the Hall of Fame. I think that's a good one now. Luke brings up Adrian Beltre, one of the best third basemen of his age. That's a good one as well. People don't think about Adrian Beltre in terms of the all-time greats because he's been on so many different teams and he just hasn't been the super-duper star that some other players like an A-Rod or a Jeter of his generation are, but Beltre's a really good one. But again, that's baseball. That's part of the baseball problem. I'm looking for football and basketball equivalents to Mike Trout. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Mariners manager Scott Service inserted Ichiro into the lineup to open up the season these last two mornings in Tokyo, where, yes, the A's and the Mariners played regular season games. So if you did not know, baseball has already had its opening game. Again, why baseball just doesn't get it. So they'll return for spring training and then open up the real season. But those two teams just played two meaningful games of the standings. And Ichiro now sent off into retirement. Essentially, this was, I guess, two games for Ichiro in the Tokyo Dome in Japan. I guess this is why we played these games, I suppose. And now he's going to retire again. Here's Scott Service, his manager.
You know, we want to send him out here in front of his home crowd in Japan the best way we can. And you know, I'm just trying to give him every chance to tip his hat because he's certainly deserving of it.
So that's absolutely true. I think Ichiro is also a wildly underrated player all time. I think because he did not speak English easily, because he was not front and center, he didn't want that type of attention. He didn't do those types of interviews. I think people didn't realize just how great Ichiro was. He wasn't a home run hitter. He was a singles hitter, but he's amazing and a total professional and beautiful to watch play baseball in his own right. But I think a lot of people don't realize how great Ichiro truly was. And the fact that he's still playing is ridiculous. He's 45 years old. So they certainly sent him off the right way. He went 0 for 4, unfortunately, today in his final game. But I don't know, Mraz. I'm just kind of discombobulated about what we just did here. What did baseball do? I guess I realize you're trying to encourage international recognition. So it's kind of like the NFL playing in London. So you play in Japan. There's a huge baseball fandom there.
Right.
But you're playing two games to start the season when the season hasn't really started yet.
So the Diamondbacks and Dodgers did this playing in Australia, and then they came back to finish spring training. That was a couple years ago. But, you know, back in my day, D.A., if we took the time to go play in Japan, like I think the Yankees and Rays did, the Mets and Cubs did, it was like 2 days before regular opening day, then they came back and had about 2 days off. So I'm assuming this is some kind of MLBPA deal. But if we're going to bother, which we shouldn't bother to begin with, if we're going to bother going to Japan, the idea that we're doing it a week before the season, so it gets totally buried, and then it's, oh, now we're doing the reopening day next week, to me makes absolutely no sense. Are they playing the game on Venus? Do they need that much time to recover afterwards? Or, if you're going to do it like this, just play exhibition games there. Just have them be spring training games. I mean, after the season's over, we send all-stars there to play versus Japanese all-stars. I mean, it's not as if the cultural influence of baseball is needed in Japan. They're aware of what baseball is. They're aware of what major leaguers look like. Why do they need regular season games? And if you do it, why do you need it a week before the regular season starts?
And was this entire series built for Ichiro's swan song?
Essentially. I mean, you can't tell me. They put the Mariners and A's there, but then after Ichiro already retired unofficially last year, they brought him back and added him to a roster. Major League Baseball made sure to put 28 guys, not 25 guys, on the roster so that he could be there for two games. And now the Mariners are going to go play 160 more games. And forget Ichiro was even a part of the team these 2 days. The whole thing was ridiculous.
Yeah, why not just make those exhibition games and just have Ichiro play all nine innings of both of those games?
Exactly. And then you wouldn't be worried about pinch hitting and taking him out and everything like that because they could. Who cares that he's playing those nine innings? They're exhibition games.
And if it's for Ichiro, are all of those fans of the Tokyo Dome not going to show up just because they're exhibition games instead of regular season games? I don't think so. I think they're there for Ichiro.
Those crowds, when they do the MLB All-Star game, are packed anyway. So I don't need to hear that the game is more relevant, so that's why the crowd is there. And also, how do you the Oakland A's now just lost two games. I believe they lost yesterday. They made a wild card last year. If they finish a game or two out of the wild card and it's because they were lethargic in Japan for Ichiro's swan song, that's a little ridiculous on the MLB schedule's integrity sheet too.
This is part of the reason I hate the NFL playing in London. Make those the preseason games. You can send all the preseason games you want across seas, but once the games start counting in the standings towards the playoffs, to basically play them in exhibition stadiums with exhibition stuff around it, I think is ridiculous.
Oh, and on that note, D.A., let's not forget, in a couple months, we're sending the Yankees and Red Sox to London to play baseball at a cricket field.
That's right.
What are we doing here?
That's right.
Best rivalry in the game? Are we going to send it to London to eat fish and chips and play where they play cricket? Where if the ball gets hit backwards, it counts for something? It's ridiculous.
I know. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Joel Embiid last night goes off, and the 76ers get a win over the hated Boston Celtics. He also got a shove from Marcus Smart, and Smart got himself ejected.
Obviously, I was frustrated because it was a cheap shot. I didn't see it coming, caught me off guard. But I don't really want to talk about him, so I don't care.
It's a role reversal because usually the 76ers lose their minds against the Celtics, lose their cool, and Boston has the upper hand. Last night it was Marcus Smart who got ejected. And again, that's a big boy win for the 76ers. If they went into the playoffs and once again got beat by the Celtics, I really don't know how you have any faith that they could beat Boston in the playoffs, even though I don't think they're even going to meet, because that would mean they would both have to win their second round series against Toronto and Milwaukee. And I don't think both those teams are going to do that. I think Milwaukee and Toronto will meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. But either way, that's a very important win by the 76ers. And for Joel Embiid, who had 37 and 22, along with four assists and the big block at the end of the game, that was just one of the most impressive performances in the game this season. And finally, Le'Veon Bell on SI.com. Was Ben Roethlisberger a factor in not wanting to return to the Steelers?
That was part of it. That's part of it. It wasn't the factor, mm-hmm. but it was a factor. Yes, it was a factor.
Your relationship with him.
Yeah, it was a factor.
And you wanted it to be different in a way.
Yes.
How would you have liked it to be different?
I'd have liked to have been more open, more genuine, mm-hmm. more real, more, you know what I'm saying? Like we're friends, like we're teammates.
and you did not feel that way.
So I think this is interesting because I think that Ben Roethlisberger's personality rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And that's why he's not considered this incredible leader. But at the same time, how easy was it for the team to be friends with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell? Like, those two guys keep throwing grenades at Ben Roethlisberger, but correct me if I'm wrong, Ben Roethlisberger didn't hold out an entire season. Ben Roethlisberger didn't quit on the team in Week 17. So these guys want to be friends with Ben Roethlisberger, saying that that was a terrible relationship, but they did more damage to their teammates than Ben Roethlisberger did. I'm not saying everything is kosher there when it comes to Roethlisberger, to the GM, Kevin Colbert, to the front office, but I think it's so ridiculous, it's so delusional for Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown to cry about, oh, he's not my friend, oh, I want a real relationship. Man, you guys think that you're totally normal people that the entire team rallies around after you both quit on the team? Come on. When we come back here on the show, which double-digit seed today is going to win? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.